All right, welcome into another edition of the Tommy Mac Podcast here on 1010XL's podcast platform. We are also at 1010XL.com, of course. We're also on their Facebook page at 1010XL, and I forget I go live on my Facebook page as well. Good morning to you. Happy Tuesday, June 15th. You know, summer just cranking along. I know school's out, and dance recitals are over. My two, man, I can't be prouder of them. They were freaking awesome. They totally kicked butt on stage. I was downtown. You know, it was kind of cool. So we stayed. I live out at the beach. So normally I don't leave the beach unless I, you know, I come in here to do the podcast or the radio or TV as I'm going to head later on. But I normally stick to the beach. But the performance was at the Times Union Center, Performing Arts Center, packed out crowd. They do it every year. Nancy Dance Studios do their year-end recital there. I was not in it this time, which I'm glad. I'm not doing King Triton anymore. The shirt's not coming off on stage any longer. I'm too old for it. They got to find a younger dad to do that. He'll look a lot better, that's for sure. But we stayed at the Omni the night before, and because they have a day-long rehearsal, so it's, you know, all day long. But I got to go for a run before the show. And I ran around the empty landing. I was like, man, this is wild. The landing's gone. It's just grass. It's just a park, they say. I mean, it looks great, and I think it will be great when they're all said and done. But, yeah, that was pretty wild running past that and remembering all the good times at the Jacksonville landing. But everything's shifted now, right? All towards the stadium. You watch in years to come. It's all going to be that. Of course, your Jacksonville Jaguars, they are finishing up minicamp. Today's their last day of the offseason. It's, you know, great. They got 6 weeks till they come back. They have to report back July 27th. It's going to be stifling hot. They better be in condition. I'm sure they will be. I wonder how many guys stick around, how many guys will travel, how many guys will go home. Look, you know, I did a little. My mom still lived in New Smyrna Beach after my dad died, so I go down there for a little bit, hang out with her. Maybe go to Chicago for a week or something like that. But other than that, I mean, I was training, getting ready for training camp. Training camp is brutal. Nobody's complaining, but it is. And I think training camp today is a lot easier, to be honest with you. And I've always said this, and I'll say it again. The thing that killed me in training camp were the three-hour meetings at night. I mean, it was just brutal. Like, you have two-a-days all throughout the day. You have dinner. Then you got all these meetings. And then you're not going to bed till 11. They want you back up at, like, 6. You're like, come on, man. Let me have some more sleep. Although they know most of the guys back then would have gone out and just grinned and bared it the next day. But yeah, the last day. So mini camp sounds good. You know, I do find it amusing. You know, and I'm not chomping on nobody here at all. But you know, the tracking of the quarterbacks, their, you know, completions, their attempts, who they threw it to, who caught it in 7-on-7 is. It's just funny to me. Like, look, you're supposed to look good on 7-on-7. Trevor Lawrence is the number one pick in the entire draft. He's supposed to throw a nice ball. Supposed to be fast, supposed to be nice and quick, in the right spot. I mean, you expect that out of him, right? So 7-on-7, oh, he was 3-of-5, but wait, then he completed his last 6. What a great outing it was. Granted, 7-on-7, for those of you that don't know, means nobody's rushing him. There's nobody in his face. There's nobody hitting him. There's nobody touching him. He's throwing to his receivers a lot of time on timing, right? Three-step drops, 5-step drops, what have you. He's working on that. I did find it interesting that Urban Meyer said Trevor tries to pound the ball in there sometimes, and he's got to stop doing that because, and I think it's a great revelation. Thank you, my producer Graham off a trip from Mexico, that he said, you know, look, in college you can fit him in. In the pros, you can't fit in the same ball. And it's a great lesson for you fans to hear because it's so true. The speed, just a half a step. Think about that. If my defender has a half a step, and that's being conservative, to breaking on that ball than they did in college, guess what? They're picking off my throws. I mean, it's whatever you call that, it's just going to happen. If I throw the ball at a certain velocity like I did in college at a spot where I'm like, oh, he's totally open, you know, boom, that DB undercuts has got a half a step. He's at least getting his hands on the ball. So it's, you know, look, it is that much of a difference. You don't think it is, but it is. And don't listen, I don't care Ohio State fans, Alabama fans, Florida, I know y'all got the greatest teams in the history of football and all that stuff, but it's not the pros. And everybody on the pros, they're elite athletes. And you look at the Jags, I mean, the speed is coming. I mean, we're going to get into that in a little bit later. But look, Trevor, he's battling a hamstring, but should be okay. Minshew, no more mullet. I told you, both of them can't have the hair deal. You know what I mean? Poor Minshew. You know, the hair was almost everything last year. He had it. Could have had any, you know, shampoo and conditioning endorsement anywhere in the entire world. And then who do they draft? Mr. Blondie with the locks. Guess who's getting the freaking the hair products for free? Yeah, it's not Gardner. Anyway, he trades in the mullet. Okay, that's cool. They say it looks all right. They say he's the second best quarterback out there. I don't know. Who knows, you know? It's so funny. It's like, again, you're not going to know till training camp. And I'm looking forward to hopefully getting out there to training camp. Hey, new people at the Jags. Former player just wants to watch practice. You tell me no. That's really disappointing. Now, granted, you didn't tell me. You emailed it to me. But it felt like a dagger. It really didn't. I really didn't care that much. But I do want to get out there because when you're in pads, that's where you find out how tough your team is. Look, the ball is supposed to come out nice. The receivers and the DBs are supposed to look fast. My tailback, ETN, yeah, he's a game breaker. Of course he's going to look great. There's nobody touching him. Now, granted, let me just say this. In OTAs and minicamp, you can have an idea of how you're playing and how things are coming together. Okay, I'll just use linebacker as an example. Being in the right spot, being in the right coverage, being in the right area when the ball is either thrown or handed off. Granted, now linemen come out on you, but they're not grabbing you and trying to block you and all that. They're just trying to get in your way. Sometimes they do. And if they do and that back gets by you, guess what? That's a negative. That's a bad play. So you that does, you know, you do generate some data from OTAs and from the minicamp. I'm not saying you don't. But the reality is when the pads come on, when we're hitting and we're flying around and we're really smacking the crap out of each other, that's when we find out what kind of team we're going to have. And that goes for any team out there on any level. That's where you find out, are you physically tough? Are you mentally tough and are you emotionally tough? Because let me tell you something. When you're running around in shorts, even in the heat here, which is hot and it's getting hot everywhere, that's one level of conditioning. When you're running around in full pads for a couple hours and then you got conditioning on top of that, which I heavily believe in, you got to be greatly conditioned, I think, no matter what. That's when you find out if you're in condition. And I'll tell you this, I know the players already know this, but you better come back in shape. It looks like they're going to get after it, and they should. New coach? Yeah, damn right, man. Here we go. We got to set the tone. We got to set the edge, if you will. What kind of team are we? I want a nasty team. I want a nasty team. Now, I do like Shaquille Griffin, the new DB that we have. Looks great out there, of course, just in shorts. But I'm sure, look, and you can tell that, right? You can tell. I'm spitting like crazy. I get excited. You can tell a DB in coverage or a wide receiver, you know, setting up the DB. They're working on their routes. But there's no real, like, big jam at the line. You know, you don't got shoulder pads to hit, you don't got helmets to clang, that kind of stuff. But you can tell if they're good in coverage and how the coverage is going and that kind of stuff. But Shaq Griffin comes out and he says, look, this is a close team, and he's not talking about on the field, talking about off. And he says, everybody wants to see everybody be great and do great. And I think that's awesome. So hopefully that rings true throughout. They put the team first, and all the individual accolades will follow. That's how it should work, and that's how it's going to work under Urban Meyer, I hope. But remains to be seen. I did like reading about the outside backer position, the SAM as they're calling it, the strong side outside backer in a 3-4. So it sounds like, now, granted, Joe Cullen, when he was signed here, he was talking about 30-40% in the 3-4. It sounds like it may be more. We'll have to wait to see what happens. But I did like this, and I'll tell you why in just a second. He was talking about Leon Jacobs and Laurenti McCray. and Kalevon Chaisson as the three guys that are battling it out for the strong side outside backer in a 3-4. And Meyer, and I quote him, says, a Sam LB who rushes. Well, thank the Lord for the nighttime. Yes, what does that mean? Chaisson will be off the ball in space, utilizing his speed and his quickness to wreak havoc in that backfield. I think it's great. I think McCray could do a nice job there. He's great on special teams. And Leon Jacobs, man, in a pinch, that guy can play some ball. So that'll be interesting. I did like seeing that. How about this? More speed to the wide receiver class or room, if you will. Laquon Treadwell, former first-round pick in 2016, he gets a chance. Urban says, big body that's fast with great hands. Jonvea Johnson, another very fast guy. I'm telling you, the speed on this team, I can't wait to see that. How fast is this team going to be? Because it seems like these guys that they keep bringing in, it's all about speed. It's all about athleticism. It's all about, you know, being a game breaker and a difference maker with that athleticism. So I think that's pretty interesting there. And what does that do to the other guys, right? I mean, we know that Chark, LaVisca, and Marvin Jones Jr. are in like Flynn, right? No, not a problem there. I think Colin Johnson's somebody, but look, when you start bringing in these guys. Hey, Eric, good morning, and good morning to everybody on Facebook. Appreciate it. When you got a guy his size that can run, you'd think you'd utilize him, but they keep bringing in speed and speed. Is he maybe not fast? I don't know. And I hate speculating that too much in the media does that, but I hope the kid can make it. And I'll tell you what, if he doesn't, he'll be playing somewhere. Colin Johnson, I think, is a ball player, and I think if you get him involved in the red zone, that's going to be huge because he's 6'6", and he can run. I don't know what his 40 is. It doesn't matter. He looks fast enough out there to me. And look, I wish him the best. I wish all the guys the best. I know what it's like going into training camp, not really knowing where you stand. You know, I know what it's like to, like, just be like, okay, I'm just – even my second year. I mean, Coughlin came to me in the offseason and said, hey, Tom, you gotta really do well on special teams to make the team this year. And this was after 95. Now, granted, in the fourth game of the year, the starter got hurt, Brian Schwartz, so I played that whole year as the Mike linebacker for the most part, 15 games, including the playoffs and the AFC Championship. My friends were there from Chicago, I remember, and some of you from Jacksonville as well. But he said, you got to do well on special teams to make the team. And I think I was one of the top tacklers in special teams that preseason. I lost weight. I got quicker. I worked on my speed and agility. And, hey, just whatever. I know what it's like. You got to keep going. And these guys that are at the bottom of the totem pole, you know, you don't get much chances, man. And you got to make the most of those chances every chance you get. And when the others are tired, you got to jump in front of them. Get another rep. Whenever they call, hey, I need someone for punt. I need someone for – you got to go. And that's for any level, man. You just got to work on that conditioning, and you'll push through it. I also found it interesting. Ladies and gentlemen, breaking news here in Jacksonville. We have a kicking competition. Josh Lamble, healthy. Saw him in the offseason a couple times. Looked good. Sounded good. From Crystal Lake, by the way. How about that? Went to Crystal Lake High School. Or Lake Forest High School. I can't remember. One of those up in Illinois. I met him and his brother, cool dudes, out at TPC this past spring in March. But a kicking competition against Aldrick Rosas. Is it Rosas or Rojas?
Rojas.
Sorry, Aldrick. So they're going at it. Lambeau yesterday missed 4 field goals. That guy never misses. Had 2 consecutive misses. Rojas missed 1, but then nailed 2 57-yarders. I mean, seriously, Lambeau, maybe he's not as healthy. And here's something. When other players at different positions get injured, it takes time to come back, right? That's our thinking. I went through it with the ACL in 97. Coming back in 98, my leg didn't feel normal till like, right before regular season. I mean, it was weird. It felt like my leg was dragging. I couldn't get it. It's just strange. Very, very, it's all up here. Because you think every little ink is like you're tearing it again. You know what I mean? I mean, that's what your immediate thought is, oh, gosh, I heard it again. But once you get that out and you just forget about it, Forget about it. Really, forget about it, and then just go play ball. So do we give that leniency to kickers? Yeah, I guess you have to. Look, he tore his labrum right in his hip. I don't know if it was kicking leg or not, but regardless, all that torque and twisting, maybe it's in his head too. It's still early. Let's not get too excited yet, but I liked it. Urban says, hey, man, every position's open for competition, except QB, but every other one is open. So is the kicking position as well. Interesting news. I saw somewhere online, Zach Ertz, Jags are the favorite to land him in a trade. Okay. See where he fits in. Tim Tebow catching balls. Hasn't dropped one. Huge. I love it. I love it. Hey, just a real quick trip around the NFL. Stephon Gilmore sitting out minicamp. 31 years of age. 2019 Defensive Player of the Year. He's owed $7 million. I think he's got 2 years left. He wants more money. They're not going to do it. They're going to trade him. Jalen Ramsey's recruiting him to go out to L.A. L.A., I'm telling you, if Stafford turns out, whoo, they got a great defense already, but if Matt Stafford turns out to be the quarterback they think he can be, and I hope he is. I've always liked Stafford. Tough dude. Plays through injury, stands there and gets hit. I know you Bear fans don't like him. Well, maybe you do because the Lions have never been really that good, but Stafford, to me, I've always been very impressed with how tough he is. You know, he was. He played through injury, whatnot. Great arm, still has it. With all those weapons in that offense, man, going to be interesting to see him out in L.A. But Stephon Gilmore, no longer maybe a Patriot. Who wants him? I don't think we would take him. I don't know. I mean, we got Shaquille, right? And I don't think they broke the bank on Shaquille Griffin. They paid him a lot of money, and good for him. But I don't know if they broke the bank on that. But you got to wonder. C.J. Henderson, they drafted a kid out of – haven't heard much out of him offseason. Campbell, that they drafted out of Georgia. But, again, it's still very early. Aaron Rodgers still – who knows? You know, James Jones receivers, I read where he's trying to be this intermediary. You know, Aaron – come on, man. They've offered you more money. What do you want? What do you want? You know, the problem is with guys that you feel this, and maybe I'm off here, but they think they're the team. They're their owner. You're not the owner. It's like my kids. It's funny. My girls, well, mom gets to. Well, mom got that. I'm like, you're not mom. What are you talking about? Mom gets to go there and get her nails done. Well, mom got her nails done. Well, so, you're 12. What are you talking about? Give a crap. Mom got her nails done. Then I'll drop you off and you go pay to get your nails done if you want to get your nails done. I mean, it's like, come on. What does Aaron Rodgers want, for crying out loud? For them to say, Aaron, we love you. We love you the best. You're the greatest. What? What do you want? You want me to trade Jordan Love? Is he that much of a problem? Huh? Is your ego that bruised? I mean, what is it? He's starting to annoy me, if you can't tell already. And I love Aaron Rodgers as a player. I think he wants the limelight. I really do. I think he wants to go to Hollywood, Jeopardy. He seems so boring for Jeopardy. I didn't even watch it. I used to watch Alex Trebek, God rest his soul, but I didn't watch all the, you know, the auditions or whatever they were. But he seems kind of boring, doesn't he? Blasé, maybe? Great QB. I love him on my team, but I don't know. Go back to Green Bay or just shut up. I don't know. I want these teams to hold strong. I do. It's getting out of hand. Players shouldn't have this much power. They just shouldn't. They're still an employee. I know they're a very well-paid employee, but they're still an employee of the organization. That owner wasn't given billions. He made billions. And how he made it, look, some inherited, of course, but the majority didn't. They built their empire, you know, ground up, including here in Jacksonville. So you're not the owner. I don't care. Well, I got a $100 million contract. Great. I'm worth $5.8 billion. What do you want? That's nothing compared to what I am. I'm the boss. I'm the owner. You're not the owner. I just feel like it's getting too much. I like that Russell Wilson, he stepped back and said, hey, it's over. I'm here to win. I'm here for Seattle Seahawks. So I love it. I think it's great. No new news out of Deshaun Watson. They're going to make a decision. If I'm Houston, I don't know, man. I don't know what I'm going to do. I might just hold still and let the league figure it out. But I don't think I'm trading him. Let him sit. Well, they owe him $10 million. Okay. Now here's that owner. I'm worth $5.8 billion. $10 million? Just to, you know, hold strong? Might be worth it. Might be worth it. I don't know. But I don't think, you know, it depends. Look, it's a case-by-case basis. There's no blanket statement here. There's too much of that in our country. It's a bunch of crap. But on case-by-case basis, you know, you got to figure that stuff out. Sometimes you let them go. They're too much of a headache. Too much headache. Get out of here. Fine. Out. You're gone. Randy Moss is of the world. Jalen Ramsey's of the world. You know, Jalen faked an injury. But at the end of the day, he's like, I'm sick of it here. I'm out. I want out. Okay, you're too much of a problem. You're bothering my other players now. You're disrupting things. You're a great, talented player, but your garbage outweighs your talent, and I can't have you on my team anymore. I get that, and I understand that. And that's, you know, you got to weigh it. You might be okay for a couple years if he brings you a championship. You'll take the grief. But if you don't and you're not winning and you got to put up with that crap, sayonara, baby. Ask T.O. Ask Randy Moss. Ask whoever. It happens even to the greatest of players. All right, hope you have a great day out there. Thanks for tuning in. I'm headed over to the Horse's Mouth on Buzz TV. Got a great show lined up, doing a great veterans theme show. I love, love, love interviewing our veterans. They need more of our help. We are brought to you by the First Watch. That's a veteran suicide prevention program. And I'm honored to say that they're a part of the Horse's Mouth because we want to help our troops, want to help our veterans every chance we get. All right, have a great day out there. Be safe, be cool. Until next time, we'll see you right here on the Tommy Mac Podcast on 1010XL's podcast platform at 1010XL.com, on Facebook, on 1010XL's Facebook, and, of course, on my Facebook and the relevant app where live audio meets live interactive chat. Have a great day, everybody, and we'll see you next time on the Tommy Mac Podcast.